Hi, this is Dr. Gil Melmed, co-director of the Inflammatory Bowel Disease Center at Cedars-Sinai, and I will be speaking about the evolution of disease management in inflammatory bowel disease in 2019. Historically, we have thought about treatment of inflammatory bowel disease based on categorizing how sick a patient is today. We want to categorize them or wanted to do so as mild, moderate, or severe, and our regulatory agencies still require that we think in those ways when we seek approval for new drugs. However, that relied on what we consider to be a, quote, treatment pyramid, end quote, for tailoring those medications to the severity of the illness as it might be today, and often tailoring the treatment to treat symptoms. However, an emerging concept that has really evolved over the last several years in the treatment of IBD is not so much understanding what the patient's course of their disease severity is today, but more importantly, focusing on what their course is likely to be tomorrow and in the future. What is the risk of a patient's developing a complication in the future and using that information to drive decision-making today? Essentially doing away with the treatment pyramid. We're not tailoring the treatment to the patient's severity today, but we're instead trying to prevent a future complication for patients who may present today with milder course of disease, but may have risk factors for progression to more complicated disease. This is particularly true in Crohn's disease, where complications of fistula, stenosis, and other complications that could require surgery are still very common. This overall concept relates to a more proactive versus a reactive care paradigm, where we are proactively trying to determine the patient's prognosis and tailoring treatment toward what that prognosis is likely to be, rather than just reacting to their symptoms or to the development of a complication, because oftentimes that may be too late. In addition to this concept of proactive care, looking towards the future for a likelihood of a complication, another evolving concept in IBD management is treating towards the target. Treating towards the target means that we are continuously reassessing where the patient is at with respect to treatment goals. At the time that a treatment decision is made, the concept of treat to target is that together with the patient, the provider and the patient are engaging in discussion about what those treatment goals may be and setting a time frame toward achieving those goals. And at that point in time, to reassess and determine if those goals are met. So for example, with Crohn's disease, a treat-to-target approach may be that at the time of initiation of a biologic therapy, 6 to 9 months later, there will be a colonoscopic or endoscopic assessment or cross-sectional imaging assessment of reduction of inflammation, of improvement, of mucosal healing, whatever that target might be agreed upon with the provider and the patient, in order to assess whether or not the treatment is meeting those goals. If the treatment is meeting those goals, great. Then the patient is set on some kind of monitoring path where there is continuous observation and assessment, whether with non-invasive markers of inflammation or perhaps with periodic endoscopy or cross-sectional imaging, that in fact, that treatment goal is maintained. But if the treatment goal is not maintained, then at that point, decisions need to be made about optimizing therapy, escalating therapy, adding on additional therapy, or switching drugs. Because the concept of treating to target requires that we are vigilant about determining whether or not the target has been met, rather than setting the patient off on their course and having them return back when their symptoms dictate. Again, this concept of proactive versus reactive care, the treat-to-target paradigm, really relies on a proactive approach. Another evolving concept in the treatment of inflammatory bowel disease that we've been accumulating evidence for over the last 10 years is the concept of treatment using an algorithm. Rather than using an individual drug based on the clinical trial data for a single individual drug, there have now been a few algorithm-based studies that have effectively given us evidence that treatment according to an algorithm provides better long-term outcomes for patients than patients who are not treated according to an algorithm. This was first seen over 10 years ago with a so-called top-down, step-up trial, where patients were randomized to receive top-down therapy with biologic, in that case infliximab, followed by additional courses of treatment as patients needed, versus patients who are treated according to standard of care and only stepped up to infliximab if they needed it after a few courses of relapse. That study showed that the patients receiving infliximab up front in a top-down fashion did better than those who received standard of care and only escalated later to infliximab. Since that landmark publication, there have been other algorithm-based studies. One study is the REACT study, which was a cluster randomized control trial where patients were treated with adalimumab in 60 centers in Canada and Belgium and randomized to receive an algorithm-based treatment of accelerated care with adalimumab as opposed to patients who received usual care. The accelerated care algorithm included reassessment every 12 weeks, and with any patient not meeting goals set for remission, had an escalation in their therapy. Whether it was the addition of a thiopurine or the escalation of adalimumab, of switching a TNF antagonist, switching an antimetabolite, or even considering surgery. The concept with this algorithm in the REACT trial was that every 12 weeks, the patients had a reassessment every 3 months, and that something was done if, in fact, the patients did not meet their treatment goals. And the outcomes of the REACT study actually demonstrated improvement in surgery, improvement in serious complications, improvement in hospitalizations among the patients in those centers treated with the accelerated algorithm as compared to patients treated with usual care up to the 2-year mark following initiation in the study. And most recently, a third algorithm-based trial has been published, the CALM study, which is a quote, tight control algorithm, also using adalimumab for patients that were randomized to use clinical management plus biomarkers, including C-reactive protein and fecal calprotectin, in order to decide when it should be time to do an escalation in therapy. That escalation being escalation of the dose, addition of a thiopurine, et cetera, for patients treated with adalimumab. And with the CALM trial, also demonstrated was significant improvement in outcomes, including the primary endpoint of endoscopy and the absence of deep ulcers, as well as secondary endpoints that included clinical remission, absence of steroids, absence of complications, including fistulas, and endoscopic healing. And what these algorithm-based trials all have in common is that they all use a treat-to-target approach. They all rely on the continuous reassessment of patients at some point in the near future, and then a clear step of what to do next if that target is not met. Again, reinforcing the concepts of treat to target and proactive rather than reactive care. Another emerging concept that we are seeing more data for to back up what we are recommending are comparative effectiveness studies. And comparative effectiveness is essentially trying to understand the comparative benefits of one treatment or one treatment approach relative to another. There are several clinical trials that are currently in progress trying to elucidate whether there are advantages to one biologic treatment over another in both ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. And we've recently seen data presented on one comparative effectiveness clinical trial of adalimumab and vedolizumab in patients with ulcerative colitis. Further data for other trials is eagerly anticipated. In addition, we've seen the publication of meta-analyses, including those with sophisticated network meta-analysis techniques that have helped us try to understand the comparative effectiveness of one biologic drug relative to another for both Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. And finally, an important emerging concept that can help tie all of what we've discussed together is the idea of being able to have an accurate prediction, an accurate prognosis for how a patient is going to do in the future. Because ultimately, the treatment decisions that we make are based on our best understanding of what it is that we're trying to achieve for both the patient's symptoms today and their disease course today, but importantly, as we discussed at the outset, what is their likely disease course? And the better the prediction tools that we have for understanding the disease course, the better we can tailor the therapy today to the specific individual patient in front of us. And we have advances in genetics, advances in various omics that can help us determine biologically what a patient's disease course may be. And we also have the development of prediction tools, for example, the PROSPECT tool, which is available online for patients now, that can help us to understand what is a likely prognosis for a patient, and therefore help us to have informed treatment decisions with patients in order to be able to prescribe the most appropriate treatment course. So these four areas of advances in our ability to treat patients with inflammatory bowel disease will hopefully percolate into clinical practice that will ultimately lead to improvement in long-term patient outcomes and help us actually demonstrate that we can change the natural history of Crohn's disease and of ulcerative colitis to improve patients' quality of life and improve their long-term outcomes, specifically complications that may require surgery. Thank you very much for your attention.